Welcome one, welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 13 coming at you. As always, I am your host, The Brant, and with me is...
your co-host, Brian.
Hey, we are excited to be bringing this to you. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can hop onto our website, www.timemachineportal.com, or you can like us on Facebook, The Portal, on there. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good, how about you?
I'm doing good. We have record-setting temperatures today, February 3rd. So.
In the good way, though.
Yeah, warm. In the good way. Yeah, it's super warm, so that's good. Hey, I did it.
What?
I did what I said I was going to do last time. I played Codenames with Mysterium cards.
Oh, yeah. Was it good?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. So the first time was on me, and we put the Codenames words out.
Yeah.
So if you guys don't know, Codenames is a grid of words, and you have to try to get people to guess the words. And I had the Mysterium cards. So Mysterium cards are just pictures, abstract pictures. And I had to pick a picture to represent the words. So the first card I gave, they picked the assassin on the first one. Which, if you pick the assassin, you lose.
So
that didn't go so well. And I kept trying, but it was very hard. So we did not get there. Then we switched who was the guesser, and we actually put the Mysterium cards out. And then people gave clues, but we used the grid from Codenames to pick them. And that was a lot more doable.
Gotcha.
A lot more reasonable. It was pretty fun. And actually, for the most part, I think people found it pretty easy. We did not, however, play teams. We only had three of us.
Okay.
And so we just played it kind of the three-player game where, anyway, there's alternate rules I'm not going to get into because I don't think it's important. But it was really fun. So I would highly suggest that. I think it's a fun activity. I want to try it competitive. I want to try the really hard mode competitive because I think that would be interesting to just... because you pick the other team's words a whole bunch.
Right.
Which doesn't happen as much in Codenames. It would be pretty funny. I think it would be a... I think people have to know, like, this is going to suck. Like, this is going to be really hard.
Would you play this over regular Codenames?
Yeah. No, you definitely. Would? Just change it up. Because, I mean, I played Codenames so much, it's super fun. Yeah. But it's not something that I'm like, oh, I have to hold to the rules of Codenames, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that was a good time. So you should try it out. That was exciting. All right. Let's tell you about some upcoming events. Silk City Board Game Group. So this is a group that meets at the Manchester Public Library on Main Street, and they will be meeting Saturday, February 13th, from 12 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Going to be highlighting some games. They're going to be playing Deception, Murder in Hong Kong, Freedom, The Underground Railroad, Twilight Struggle, and Snow Tales. So these are some games that you could check out. There'll also be lots of other games. The Portal will be there. Brian will be there.
Yeah, and you might be there.
I will be there.
Okay, you will be
there.
Now
I'm going to be there. I've put on my calendar, so I'll be there. So we'll be there teaching games. I mostly just played. You taught most of the games last time.
A couple, yeah.
So I only taught one, so that was good.
And we almost played Raptor.
we keep trying to play Raptor. I know, we got to get that in.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say for next podcast, but for next podcast.
I don't know about that. There's always something that comes up.
I know, we're always set it up, game. And then other people show up and we don't want to play a two-player. So, so check out the Silk City Board Game Group, and Brian's got the next upcoming event.
Yeah, and then Saturday, February 6th, we're going to be hosting PortalCon 2016. I guess we had talked about this a couple times in previous episodes, but this is going to be a full day open to, like, historical board gaming. You know, we'll have some, like, X-Wing events, some, like, Space Hulk tournaments. I believe, like, there's going to be a Pathfinder Society that's holding, like, events all day. We're going to have the board game attraction along with the designer. He's going to come out. He's fairly local. Like, he's from Connecticut, so he's going to be coming down to the shop, and he'll be demoing that game. I believe that will be later in the day. But, yeah, the event's going to run from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. We're going to have, you know, a lot of events going on with, like, dedicated time slots and dedicated space. We'll have food available for people to buy if they're looking for, like, a meal, just kind of some basic, like, grinders and pizza, that sort of stuff. So, but yeah, it'll be Saturday, February 6th, and, you know, hopefully you guys can make it. It's going to be at the Portal, and, you know, we'll see. This is the second year we've been running this, and I feel like it's got a little bit more to it, and we're going to be building off of this year, too, so... you know, if we don't see you there, hopefully we'll see you the next year, and hopefully this kind of becomes a consistent thing, but, Yeah, Saturday, February 6th, come down to the shop, and hopefully it'll be a great day for gaming.
Nice. Sounds awesome. Hey, I thought of a quick one to add to the list here.
Yeah.
TotalCon.
Yeah.
TotalCon. We're going to be representing the store at TotalCon. I'll be there a good portion of the time. You're going to come out, too.
Yep.
So TotalCon, if you guys don't know, probably about the distance that the portal cast its shadow, I would say. It's in Mansfield, Massachusetts, right near Foxborough Stadium. That's probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours from the store. So, but, you know, it's New England.
Yeah.
So we're a New England store. So we'll be out there playing games, talking to people. So if it's something you're considering, or if you're kind of in that area, or you want to make the drive out, check out TotalCon. It's at the Holiday Inn in Mansfield, Massachusetts. I know getting a room is out at this point. but you could stay somewhere in the area or up in Foxborough, is only 10, 15 minutes away, and come down to the hotel. So if you're going to be around or you're thinking about something like TotalCon, it's a whole board gaming, role-playing, the whole thing. I think it's New England's biggest convention, and we'll be there. So,
yeah.
And actually, our next episode, cross our fingers, should be from from TotalCon.
Yeah, and so that's going to be Thursday, February 18th?
Yep.
Somewhere, or like all the way through the weekend?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Thursday through Sunday that weekend.
Through Sunday,
so, so definitely check that out. And hopefully our next episode will be from TotalCon. Okay, let's talk about what's on your table. You first, me first. What do you think?
I don't know. You've been going first, so you can...
All right. Actually, I think we both played all these, so we can kind of go that direction,
yeah,
too. So the first game I want to talk about is Mombasa. Mombasa. So Mombasa is from R&R Games. This is Alexander Pfister, who Isle of Skye and some other games that are famous. but those are the ones I know of. So Mombasa is a game about the colonization of Africa. Interesting in the rules, they mention the history of the colonization of Africa and all the negative effects. Slavery and trade and blood and money and greed and all that stuff. And they say this game purposely does not try to represent those horrible events in history. Imagine a fictional story of colonizing and collecting and all that kind of stuff in our actual Africa. So
yeah.
I just always think it's an interesting aside. I mentioned it to people. But anyway, there's four companies vying for control of Africa. So it's kind of an economic game. And you don't represent any company, but you buy stock in each of the four companies. Really interesting game. We kind of debated the medium-heavy euro. I think it's heavy by all the mechanics that are in there, but they're all pretty simple and light in of themselves. But you've got hand management, you've got deck building, you've got economic, you've got area control, you've got other things too.
Worker placement.
Yeah, worker placement. All these mechanics are in there. I didn't. All these mechanics are in this game. Again, they're all pretty light. Works forward. Probably the most interesting thing is every turn you pick three cards to play, and they're in separate piles. Like, you kind of lay them out in front of you, and then there's discard piles that they'll go into above. And at the end of your turn, you get to pick up all the cards in one of those discard piles and then move those cards up there, which now aren't available until you pick up those cards. Your resting decks, I think they're called. And that's a really unique mechanic to the game. So, fun game. I've played it three times now. I've played a two-player and a three-player and a four-player. Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
I think it's good in all. The two-player was weird at first and got really good at the end. Okay. And so I think it worked. At the beginning, I was kind of like, ooh, this might not work. But it worked out. Our three-player game was great, and our four-player game was really good. We were just points apart from each other. So
that was
a really good one. So I definitely enjoy Mombasa. I think it's my favorite game that I've played in 2016. So it's only been a month. But it's really good. So
how is it in like comparison to all the 2015 releases?
You don't know. You're hurting my head.
Sorry.
I don't know.
No,
I have to look at my list.
You're comparing it to the stuff that hasn't
come
out. Yeah,
Shakespeare was one I really liked, and I think I like it better than Shakespeare. So
okay.
I love the theme of Shakespeare, though. I'll go into that debate sometime. I listened to Dukes of Dice, and they were talking about how they didn't think it was thematic. And I was like, oh, but you missed I know it's not Shakespeare, but you miss the idea that the queen is coming. It's more like Shakespeare in Love. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Like that, oh, here's this ragtag group of people trying to put together a play. So their costumes are shabby. Their set isn't quite built. They've got 6 days to put it all together. We may not get Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. Anyway, I'm reviewing Shakespeare instead of Mombasa. But anyway, really like Mombasa. Fun game. What'd you think about it?
Yeah, no, it's great. And I'm glad to see R&R Games, which is kind of known for, like, you know, the lighter fare, like family-friendly stuff. And this one's definitely in that heavy Euro sort of in that category. And
medium Euro,
heavy medium, medium heavy,
medium heavy,
heavy medium. Either way, but yeah, it's like it's right up there. There's a lot to it, and you know you'll be pulling your hair out at some point trying to play this and thinking through all those iterations. You know, most of the time it'll be playing fairly quick, but then you'll always have like one of the, like a turn where it's like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I need to do to get to where I need to be, you know.
I think it's fun pulling your hair out.
Yeah, no. It's a
good
one.
Fun pulling your hair out. Yeah. There's pulling your hair out that I can't take, but sometimes I enjoy it.
We'll get to that later.
Yes. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, for the next game?
Yeah.
The one I wanted to bring up, we actually played the same night as Mombasa. Right. This one's actually an older game. It's Glory to Rome from Cambridge Games Factory. Unfortunately, it's going to be a tough one to come across now, but yeah, it's one that there's some issues just with, like, you know, the company that had it. But yeah, Glory to Rome is just a great, like, tableau building game, and you've got like all these cards that have multi-functions, so you're trying to build all these structures like with like a Roman theme on top of it. It's not oozing out of it to me. I'm sure some people kind of look at it and really pull that away from it, but you're really building up your tableau, building all these buildings that are doing unique things, like, you know, like walls or like a forum or like, you know, all these things that have different special abilities that affect you. You're also gaining all these patrons that let you do, like, you know, kind of build up an engine and take more actions as it goes along. Yeah, and you're basically going to be choosing like a couple different things to do. So you'll try to gather like resources from, like, you know, from a stockpile sort of area or from other people's hands, or it's just really neat how it all kind of comes together to the point where you're like, you've got all these different ways where you can actually win the game. You know, the most standard one is just to kind of get like the most points and compare that. But then there are some other buildings that give you like the ability to win like outright. And, you know, there's just a cool balancing act for how you get to that end game. So, yeah, I don't know. Glory to Rome is a great one. If you can find it at a decent price, it would be, you know, it's well worth it to try it out and just get it in your collection. And I know, like, you own this and you've had it for a while, right?
Yeah, I couldn't say enough good things about Glory to Rome. I don't believe it's my top 10, but it's got to be right behind it.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly where it is, but definitely my top 20. It's just such a great game. Couple things with Glory to Rome. One, to realize, well, first off, explaining the game is very hard. So you have to know that you basically have to play this game like 3 times.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, oh, I think I know what's going on now. It's a very weird game, but really cool once you get into it. So it's definitely got a huge learning curve. But the big pieces are this, like, action selection. Somebody chooses a card and everybody can follow doing that action.
Yeah.
And then the cards have multiple uses, which is really fun. So that's really neat. It's very tough to get your hands on.
Yeah.
Made a new version, kind of, which is Matainai, and that is available.
Yeah.
And I would definitely suggest people trying Matainai. Some people have claimed it's better than Glory to Rome. They're wrong. But Matainai is definitely good. It's definitely fun, and it gives you that feel. It's smoother Glory to Rome, but that's actually why I don't like it as much.
Gotcha.
I like the choppiness of Glory to Rome, like, because it's more in-depth, and it's more like, oh, how am I going to do this, and how am I going to make that work, and I like the blocking. Like, sometimes you just have to take one for the team, and like, I'm not going to let that person win, and I'll try to do this, but you're still moving along because your turn comes back eventually. Like, so that choppiness is kind of neat. But yeah, try out Matainai if you can't get your hands on Glory to Rome. Matainai plays in like 15, 20 minutes. So, whereas Glory to Rome tends to be 45 minutes to an hour. So
yeah, and I mean, part of the neat thing with Glory to Rome, like, there are certain aspects that feel a little broken, but then just playing, like, it's like people recognize that it is like that, so then it becomes completely different, because it's like, okay, well, this cannot, we cannot let this happen, so it's just like, the game adjust itself because people recognize that broken strategy and alter what they're doing so that can't happen.
Right, you're trying to set up an engine that breaks the game. And
right.
People are trying to stop your engine from happening. Yeah, no, yeah. It's beautiful. So really that interaction is a big deal. The other thing we have to mention with Glory to Rome is you can play the action and you call out cards from people. And you say, Rome demands stone and marble. And then Brian doesn't have stone and marble, so he has to say,
Glory to Rome.
And smack the card in the middle of the table. Glory to Rome! So
I think you get a bigger kick out of that than I do.
I love that part. All right, next up, Orleans from Tasty Minstrel Games. So in this game, it's a bag building game. So kind of like a deck builder, but it's a bag builder. So you have a velvet sack of chips or wooden discs that are all sorts of different people in this French city, Orleans. And you've got tradesmen and boatsmen and farmers and scholars and knights and etc., monks. And you start with four of them, you put them in your bag, and every turn you get to draw a certain number from a track, and you draw those out and you put them on your marketplace. And then you have a personal board where, you know, you have to put multiples. So if you put your farmer and your tradesman and your boatsman on a space, then that allows you to then take an action where you can pick all them up, put them in your bag, and you can collect like one of three different workers. And so you get another one of these discs that you get to add to your bag, or tiles, I guess they're called. And then each of those has a track associated with them. So if you move up on the boatsman track, you get money. So in addition to getting a boatsman, you get some money, which you can use. And you can get the farmer. And the farmer helps you get goods, and you get money if you're ahead on the farming track. So there's all these different tracks. Another key to the game is you can get buildings, and the buildings give you kind of like extra functions that you can use. Or they may make some of your pieces wild, so they can just go in any space. So really neat. So you definitely like build your engine, build your strategy, and do all that. And the other key piece of the game is there's a board where you all have a builder or a traveler. I don't know what he is exactly. Merchant? I'm not sure. And he moves around the board. So there's an action to move. You have to use knights to move around the board. And you move to locations, and then you build trade halls at the locations. And there's a development track. And at the end of the game, for every trade hall you have like a multiplier. And also certain tracks, if you get to the end of the track first, you collect a citizen. And those citizens add to your multiplier. And then probably the last major feature of the game is there's a town hall. So at some point in the game, you can put some of your pieces in town hall, and they come out of your bag. It's like removing them from your deck. And they go to the town hall and collect you a couple resources. But there's all these different buildings. I think it's like the Good Deeds or something. And if you fill up one of those tracks, then you get a citizen, which adds to this multiplier. And you collect goods, and they're all worth points. And you collect money, and it's worth points. And you collect citizens, and it's all this giant pot of point-scoring yumminess. And whoever has the most points at the end of 18 turns, which sounds long, but it's fairly quick, there's some events that come up each turn, is the winner. And it's a winner. The game is really fun. So I've played the game a couple times, two-player, and I found it to be good every time. What do you think of Orleans?
Well, we also got to play with the expansion, which adds like a, you know, cooperative mode, which was really neat. I don't know. I guess besides that, like just the overall thinking behind the game, like it was enjoyable. I don't know. It's not one that I'm wanting to get to the table all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I don't know. I was just thinking about it when you were describing it. It feels like I'm going to play this game and I'm going to try to do the exact same thing each time. I guess I haven't looked enough into like those multiple, like, you know, I'm sure there are a couple different strategies that you can use to that end game, but it's felt like there is an optimal way to do it to me, like just from a couple plays. So obviously, like, I'm not an expert on it or anything. I feel like some of the buildings just don't really have any function. Like, it almost feels like that's, like, a very weak part of the game to me. But, like, your basic board is the one where most of what you'll put down, like, most of what your actions come from your base board. So I'd almost like to see something where, you know, people are kind of starting with, like, a unique player power or like something like that, like in the cooperative game has like a a variable, like, end goal for each person. Like, each person is trying to accomplish one set goal. And I'd almost, I think that would be an amazing thing to do for, like, the competitive aspect of it. And I think that would give it a lot more, like, I think that would make the game have a lot more, like, legs in my mind, where it's just like, all right, now I need to think about my player power and adjust how I'm playing the game based on that.
Yeah, I get a bonus from this or a negative, or I have to have this at the end of the game or I lose points.
I think that's what it's missing for me to, like, really jump up to this, like, oh, I want to play this game all the time. But, I don't know, it was still fun. I don't, like I said, I don't know if I'm wanting to get it to the table all the time, but, you know, I'll play it. It's not what I'm going to suggest, though.
Yeah, I've got the two plays in the co-op, so far, and my wife really likes it, so
it
gets back to the table. Actually, we have your copy, and she fully stickered it, so
You're all set. Yeah.
Because there's, like, 200 pieces you have to sticker or something. And
now that I'm going to trade it away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, that's okay. We'll just kidnap it. Okay. that's my game, Orleans, TMG. Yeah.
So, the last one I want to touch base on is Zolkin, the Mayan Calendar, and this came out a little while ago. I think the U.S., like in the U.S., it was from Rio Grande Games, Rio Grande Games, whatever. And I think CGE, like Czech Games Edition, might have had some hand in that. I don't know the full history behind that. I know how we got it, how we ordered it as the store. But Zolkin the Mayan Calendar is a very neat worker placement game. I mean, at the heart of it, it's like a very simple, like, you know, put down your workers and feed them and that sort of stuff as the game goes along. But the really interesting thing, like, you're really, when you remove those workers is when you get the action, like the powers that they've provided. And it's really like they're advancing on these tracks, which are represented by this, like, really neat, like, wheel mechanism. Like, it's progressing, like, each worker is kind of aging as time goes on. They're getting better at what they're trying to do, you know, so they'll be able to, like, accomplish more the longer they stay on this wheel. So by the end of, like, but you really are limited in how many workers you have, so you need to kind of either place your workers down or remove any number. And then it's really a neat, like, balancing act, so you're trying to, like, remove them at the right time so next turn you can place them again, or you can try to, like, you know, piggyback off one another. So it's a really neat worker placement game with, like, a lot more than just, like, oh, I want to block this spot. It's like, oh, I need to be able to get to this by this turn, so, like, you know, these wheels spin, and you're really, like, I guess you're trying to get all these, like, points from different ways, like, build these different buildings and advance on these different, like, god tracks, which are basically giving you points and resources.
Yeah.
You're also trying to, like, there are some crystal skulls, which are interesting. I've never really tried that aspect of it out, like, but you're putting those down to, like, get these one-time ability, like, these, you know, basically resources again and points. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of resources and points, however you can get them through, like, skulls or god tracks or buildings. So you're really trying to figure out, like, what's my best way. And I think, just thinking about it right now, this is one where we did play with the expansion, where it does have, like, unique player powers, and that was one where it was, like, it was really neat to try those out, and I think that's where that one really kicked in, and it's like, I want to play this some more. I want to try out these different gods that, you know, or these different tribes that have all these special powers and that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. Brant, what did you think about it?
No, I definitely really like the game. A lot of people are gaga for the game.
Mm.
And I think it's like, I like the resource management, I like the worker placement, I like all the little mechanics, but I think it has that long-term strategy effect that I don't do as well with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much better at tactical and short-term strategy for the most part. And so that real, like, okay, I'm going to be here so that in two turns that'll be there. So in three turns that'll be there, almost chess-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I do worse with that. So this last time we played, that just didn't click for me and I just didn't do so well. I remember towards the end of the game, you can move the wheel twice, and I moved the wheel twice. And somebody's like, oh, are you disliking the game? Or what? I was like, no, I just wanted I'm ready to be done and I'm going to go home. I'm not upset at all.
Right.
I was just ready to be done. Yeah. And why not? I'll tick the wheel twice. And I knew I was going to win. I guess it kind of hurt you, and that was it all worked out in the end.
I lost.
Oh yeah, so it worked out for you. Yeah, it worked out great.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, no, it's a really neat game. What do you think about the drafting of the player powers? Larry had suggested, Larry on the podcast before, he suggested that you put all the powers out and then everybody drafts them or something, because what's fair against what and how
he doesn't
is.
Know what he's talking about.
Gotcha.
No, I mean, maybe if we were like experts at it, like if we had played it enough and it's like, okay, this is clearly what you need, like this is what you want to be doing, but you'd need to have some other thing kind of added to that mix where it's like, you're not only like you're drafting the power plus gaining like the other tokens with, and it's yeah. like, I don't know how you'd exactly do it. I think you'd need to add a lot more to it. Like you'd almost need like, do you get different resources based on where you start? Like, do you get more money if you're like the person in last or something?
No, the balance is supposed to be your workers can move ahead on the wheel.
Oh, right.
So you can
okay.
get to resources faster.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think drafting is all that important. Like, I mean, I guess coming from playing Race for the Galaxy a ton, where it's like you deal out a couple different like starting tiles.
Yeah.
The different thing about this is like Sulcan lasts a lot longer. Like yeah. you're playing a long game and you could be completely out of it from the start based on like, you know, what you're trying to do. Like maybe you do have like some bad, you know, some bad tribes or whatever. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to draft it until way down the road, and I don't know if I'm going to get to that with this game.
Right.
I think the one thing, I don't know if I want to play this one two-player.
Mm-hmm.
I think, which is frustrating, like, I want to play, like, I've got time with Rachel, my wife, like, I've played Race for the Galaxy and Roll for the Galaxy a ton. This one I don't think is going to hit that same feel, like, it's not going to get to the table as often, but I don't know, I did like it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was just saying about the draft, it's the same. My favorite game is Terra Mystica.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the same thing in there with the 20 now races. And people saying, you know, and actually that is a variant, that you yeah. put them all out and then people bid. So you actually give up, you start with 20 victory points. You can say, well, I'll start at 10 victory points if I yeah. can have that race. And this one, the other thing. But to me, even as much as I played Terra Mystica, the most of anybody in our group, I still enjoy, just give me a race I haven't played and I'm going to figure them out. And that's
right.
the fun of the game to me. Not, oh, I already know this race is good. Again, when I get to 50 and 100 plays,
yeah,
you know, I'm probably at 10, 15 plays, you know, or so, whatever it is. The joy of just figuring out the race is the fun of it. There are definitely more to the races in Terra Mystica than there
yeah.
are to the tribes, for the most part.
And you hope that the game is balanced in and of itself,
right.
too, where it's like, I want to believe that all these are the same. And I think the thing with drafting, like, it's, you're almost having to put a value on something before the game even begins, and all of a sudden you're playing something, and I just don't like that in certain games.
Yeah.
I felt the same way about like Power Grid, where it's like you have to value what you're looking at prior to actually even getting a turn.
Mm.
And I would rather be told, this is what you're trying to do, figure it out. Like, I'd rather have that and just be dealt something and like, okay, I need to optimize what I can do.
Right.
Maybe I'm not going to have like a winning combination based on like what my assumption is of the game, but I think that's more enjoyable to me than like, all right, I need to figure out right now, this one's going to be the best one long term, so I need to bid on this, and you know, assuming I get this one, I should not lose this game. I should win based on like, you know, all
yeah.
the iterations. I don't want that in a game.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and to contrast it with something like Glory to Rome that we were talking about, where somebody tries to build an engine where it's over the top and then people push back, these types of games don't have that pushback. So, you know, if somebody did have something that was so over the top, it'd be hard to push back. So that's where you're hoping the balance comes in from the start.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would just be, that one's too good and we can't stop it. Whereas Glory to Rome is like, ha ha, stop me if you can, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of that's the fun of the game, and it's in there that you can balance that. Awesome, that's what we've been playing. Let us know what you've been playing. You can email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Brian.
Yes.
I hate you! I hate you!
Did you announce the name of the...
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
So, that is the title of the episode. I hate you! And that is Anakin screaming at Obi-Wan. After he, spoiler alert, chops all his legs and arms off. So that's the title of our episode, because we're going to be talking about games we don't like, or specifically, games we hate. So I thought this would be an interesting topic. We don't like every game. I think sometimes it comes across when we talk about games. We typically pick ones that at least one of us likes.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what we like to discuss, and we want people to know about games that are out. Or yeah, I know Brian tends to try to have a method of, like, let's pick something that's kind of newer and something that's kind of older so people can
see. I've gone away from that.
He's gone away from that.
Sorry.
But, so we try to pick some of those things and think about that, but we want you to realize, hey, there's games that we don't like, and people should totally like them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, this isn't a judgment at all. It's
yeah,
really like,
no, they're just
these
games.
Don't fit in our wheelhouse. Like, people like them, that's great.
Yeah.
We're not going to judge. But
so we'll have some fun telling you about some of the games
yeah.
we really don't like, and then we'll talk about some more of this in terms of that. So I will start. So one of the games that I have never liked is a game called Rise of Augustus. And so I believe this was a Spiel des Jahres nominee one year, and it is Roman bingo. The whole game is like you just flip cards and you're like, you know, chariot, Roman warrior, like, and you match up little symbols, and when your symbols come up, your little colony scores and you get another card and you get a bonus, and then if you score again, you get another bonus and another bonus, and next thing you know, there's just a huge runaway leader. And I played it. Apparently, it plays like 6 or 7 people, and we played. And it was like I had a score of like 87, and next place was like 13. And it was I had no fun winning
yeah.
by that much. So,
so in like 50 years, this is not going to be the replacement for bingo for you.
No, this is not my favorite game. Rise of Augustus. What do you hate, Brian?
I guess the first one I did not like was Incredible Expeditions: Quest for Atlantis, and that's probably not fair to the game. I guess I only did play it the one time, so there's, you know, some there's kind of an asterisk there, but this one was just like a very drawn out, like, deck building style steampunk game that just felt like it wasn't fun to me at all, I guess. it felt like it was way too long for what it was, and I think the biggest thing that was at, like, this game was one that I was looking at from, like, a distance. I saw it at Gen Con. I saw, like, you know, like, pre-orders from vendors and that sort of stuff for it for a while. And I was kind of like, oh, that looks cool. That's a cool theme. Like, I think maybe that steampunk sort of theme just is, like, I always want to like that style of game. And then all of a sudden I try it and it's like, oh, my goodness. I am sitting here for way too long. I want to get out of this game, but it won't let us. And all of a sudden it's like, I don't want to play that game again.
I think that's, yeah, that's where you find games you hate.
Yeah.
That's where you go over the line when it's like, I need to get out of this game and I can't.
Right.
Not the players or anything, just the game itself. Like, I will sit and finish this game and then I will never agree to play it again.
Right.
So.
And it just was so random. Like, you're like, you're going along this trajectory, like you're exploring with like a, I forget if it's like a flying ship sort of thing. I think, like, you know, Quest for Atlantis, whatever that means. So you're flying along and you're going down these different paths and, like, you flip over cards at random for what you're facing, and it could be, like, really, really bad or it could be really easy. And then, you know, once you get all the way out, like, you're kind of trying to balance, like, you're trying to rest your crew and you're trying to, like, gain them for the next location you're going to. And, you know, I even did all right in the game. One person was completely out of it from the start, and he looked miserable. And then it was just like two of us were going through, and it was just like, okay, let's flip the card and see if I win. I win, you know.
Candyland!
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
Nice. I actually just thought of a game that we didn't put on this list. We both despised it. Outpost.
Yeah, I played it a long time ago. I don't know. I'd play that again.
Oh, it was brutal. Outpost was like totally a winner, runaway leader. You had to guess how much you want to bid with these cards, and they had to add up to the total. And
yeah,
that was one I remember. I think actually Rachel and I were in the game. I think we were so far out of it with like 2 or 3 rounds to go. But we couldn't drop out. It was just,
right.
You know, we would mess up everybody's mechanic. But it was like an hour to do 3 rounds where it was like, you know, mathematically, we were so far out of it. There wasn't even like, hey, let's roll 2 dice. And if we roll triple sixes, then we get back in the game. There was nothing. It was just hopeless. And
all right, you've convinced me. I'm not going to play it again.
All right. But that was that
but
was.
There was also, what was it? Ascending Empires?
Is that the flicking one?
That's the flicking game. The
now we're just thinking of games off the top of our head, not even our
Civ building space.
Flicking that game.
One, yeah.
And none of us could flick.
Yeah, it was not. It looked so cool, too. That was the problem.
Idea. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you had to flick to travel to an next planet, like to colonize or to attack people. You had to flick these little spaceships and hit the planet, but it was so hard for us. Maybe we're terrible at dexterity. I don't know.
And I think we played it once, and it was like, it wasn't fun. But this was one where it was like, this has to be fun. Let's play it again. Right. And it was the exact same experience. It was just miserable.
Oh, clearly we can laugh about it now. All right, classic game. Classic game that I don't like is Acquire. So, is this a Saxon game?
Sure.
I think I'm supposed to know. I feel like I'm the game guru.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never actually played this.
Yeah, but Acquire is an old Avalon Hill game, I know. And it's like build your companies and get stocks and merge and know how to do all this. And I think this is the game that made me officially decide I am not an economic. Which is funny because I'm a math person.
Right.
But it's just not, it's like, I think it's too much like I'm doing work.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm having fun. And it's not fair. I really haven't played a lot of, especially recent economic games. We mentioned Mombasa has an economic element, but it's totally different.
Yeah. I read through the rules of Imperial 2030.
Oh, no.
I want to play that.
No. I don't know if I can do it. So anyway, Acquire, we just had an awful play, and it was just no fun. And it was like, I don't think we understood the concept. But
and you played with Rachel before I even knew you guys, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and she wouldn't play with me now if I... Yeah, that's the one that she's already, like, crossed off. Is like, you're never playing this with me.
It was just long and
But I always awful. Hear good... like, people talk about this as, like, a good classic game.
Oh, it's a big classic.
But I'm never going to get to try it now.
Yeah. No, you're not. Next.
Yeah. All right, so Draco Magi. That's a very, like, you know, it's a small box dragon game where I don't even remember the basic, like, premise. I think you're trying to, like, send these dragons to different locations to try to gain those locations, and it's a two-player head-to-head sort of thing where you're, like, it's really just, like, put your dragons out and hope you have a better hand of cards, and if you do, you're trying to collect, like, sets, I believe, of, like, the different location types, and... I don't remember what my least favorite part of it was. I played it once with Rachel, and neither of us had fun. You know, like, it's such a cool theme. Like, you know, like, dragons are cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, that seems so cool, and the box looks fun, and then you get it, and you, like, deal out this hand of cards, and it looks cool, and then all of a sudden you're playing cards, and it's like, well, you know, I totally got a better hand. And I beat you, so that was the full game, and it took way too long for what it was.
Did you get in under 2 hours?
Yes.
Hey!
I think.
You beat all creatures great and small.
Yeah, but it was just not... The tough... Like, these ones are, like, ones where it's like, I want to like this game, it looks fun, and then I guess just from playing all these different games that we've been able to try, it's like, it really separates the ones that are not fun or not in our wheelhouse... And this was totally in that category for me.
I tell you what I love about a bad two-player game, though. It's easy to get out of.
Yeah,
typically. Because you could just say, you win. I don't want to be done.
Yeah.
I don't like this, and you don't like it either. So, or you could just pick it up in the middle and say, let's try again from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because a three-player game, it could be like, I don't like this, and you don't like this, but he's winning.
Yeah.
And he wants to finish it, so we have to stay in it for that person, you know? Like, and it's like, oh, but a two-player is like, hey, I'm just backing out. Like, you win.
But I think we were trying to, like, I think it basically amounts to, like, rock, paper, scissors in, like, a card game form that takes way too long. Like, rock, paper, scissors is a pretty short game, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And I would have rather done that rather than, you know, play this game. So.
Yeah. All right, my next one is CO2. Really, who's this guy? Vital Lacerda?
Yeah.
I like the Gallerist. Kanban, I didn't put on the list. If you listen to the podcast, that's the one that probably I've picked on the most. But I, like I told you the other day, I'm hopeful that the next time I play Kanban, I will enjoy it more. So maybe it'll go to this list.
Because it's on a couple 10x10s for us, right?
Yeah. But CO2, I just did not get into it all. And I think you guys did like it. I just felt like we did not it didn't make sense. It was a cool thematic game. I will give it that. Mm-hmm. It had this theme of, hey, think about your carbon footprint, what's happening, and all these different... But I just couldn't make connections, and right. It was just weird, and we had a runaway leader, which I think we had an idea, but there's just those games where it's like, I think I know how to do this better, but I won't play it again. So I'm not going to do better with it.
I wasn't that big on it. I mean, Larry really did like it. He also was the runaway leader. So
yeah, right.
Always whatever that means. Yeah. But, I mean, it was okay. It's just, it wasn't the game that I was expecting from the box. And it wasn't, you know, like, I think because there's that, like, pollution aspect where it's kind of a semi-co-op. Like, we're all trying to, like, prevent the world from being over polluted or whatnot, but it never really felt like we were in trouble with that. Like, if that was kind of a little more tense and it was like everyone had to make sacrifices, I feel like that would have been neat.
Yeah,
but this one just kind of fell flat the one time. Like, we played it the one time and I'd be fine not playing it again.
Yeah, I think some of these games too, like, yeah, we're saying, oh, I hate this game. I think some of them are like, you know, darn you, game. Darn you for not making me like you.
Right.
I'm almost mad at the game. I wouldn't call it disappointment, but more just like, ah, you're supposed to make me like you. I want, you know, I want to play with dragons.
Like, right. The other game, it's not like, fair. I mean, CO2 would be a rough one if someone was hopping, like, jumping into the hobby. But, like, the other ones, like, I could see it being a stepping, like, you know, they were, like, decent. They had, like, some good elements to them. But they just didn't mesh with, like, what we've been used to. Like, there's so many great games. These ones just... or the opposite of that for us.
Well, speaking of games with potential that just did not work out, it's your next one, man.
This one is not... I would never play this again. Artificium. And I don't... How do you explain this? I think I pushed this one out of my mind completely.
You have these crystals that represent various goods, and you have a board, and you basically move up. So you have wood, and then you can play a card to trade your wood in to become food. And you trade your food in to become a castle, and you trade your castle to become a knight. And it doesn't really make any thematic sense, but you manipulate all these cards in this card row, and you're playing. But then suddenly you could just steal from somebody and just screw them out of whatever they're going to play because your cards are in order. And somebody's just system just works because they draw the right cards, and somebody goes first. And and then everybody counts up their points and goes... Oh, you crushed us. Who wants to try again next game? So, and I'll call Eric Sommer here.
I don't understand.
For being on his top 100 games of all time.
He must not have played 100 games.
I think it was his top 100 terrible games of all time.
Anyway. That one.
This is supposed to be your game and I stole your
game. No. The other games, I've kind of given them some like, oh yeah, there's some to it. I'm not giving this one any credit. I'm sorry, you know, to the designer and... to everyone that was involved in this game, because there is just no redeeming factor to this at all. And I never want to see this game. I thought that there were a couple other games that were much, you know, like I had some that were kind of that joking, like, oh, I really don't like this. This one is not even a game to me anymore.
Yeah. So my next game gets credit for the mechanic that it's named after, which is a great mechanic. But the game is the game I always say, I'd rather just be playing, sorry, not I'd rather, why don't we just play Yahtzee? Yahtzee, great mechanic. Roll the dice, make a choice, roll some more dice, make a choice, roll some more dice. And then just put it in some boxes because you didn't roll what you need to roll. And move on. And it's a family game and it's classic and you're supposed to sit around and play Yahtzee and get everybody into it. Okay, if I want to teach probability... it's fun to teach probability with this game. Again, the mechanic, I totally give credit to this game. King of Tokyo, and so on and so forth down the line. Every game that's come out from King of Tokyo with dice that has this mechanic. But man, like, why don't we just draw cards from a deck and high card wins? Or
that
just
is a game.
Roll some dice. Yeah, high card, right? So I don't want to play Yahtzee ever again.
I would play this. I'm going to defend Yahtzee here. Oh. It's just, with my family, it's just been, you know, it's a classic.
Torture!
Game. No, Yahtzee is great.
I'd rather play Uno than Yahtzee.
Brant is wrong, so Yahtzee is really, it's fun. I mean, triple Yahtzee. I don't know, are you playing basically just...
just bland old Yahtzee, roll the dice,
that's fine,
cup,
that's different. Triple Yahtzee is where to go.
Broken wooden pencil in the box.
No, three columns, so you multiply the third one by three, multiply the second one by two, multiply the first one by one.
Oh, well, now you're putting some strategy in
that's
the
game. That's a fun game. That's the only way I've really played, though. I mean,
well,
I've
only played
that, like...
single Yahtzee. Okay. Single, boring.
All right, I'm not going to defend that one, then.
Watching people
triple
make strategic
Yahtzee.
Decisions that don't matter.
And then you have to cross off the boxes as you go. That one, there's a little more to it. It's fun. It's a good game.
Hey, crossing off boxes and you don't like Imperial Assault?
Imperial Assault is not on this list.
That is true. It is not a hate. All right, go ahead.
All right. So, the one that I was referring... So, Viceroy is just one that fell flat, and I think I mentioned it a couple times on this podcast. It's just... It might have been the one play that we did. I hated the one play that we did. I think I tried to, like, abuse the system, and, you know, I drafted, like, a specific card to start that was, like, completely changing how I played the game. And we did play a three-player one, and it just... This one looked cool, and there were good things that I had heard good things about it, but man, it was not enjoyable. It was not. It felt like so limited, where like people could run away with just like, you know, they just like. I think the tough thing for me when I was playing, like I was very restricted on what cards I could draw. I don't know if that's a common thing, but that one felt like there was no way around it. Like, you know, if we were bidding on this, like basically people needed to win a specific card, like by bidding on it, or else they weren't really going to have a chance to, like, you know, build off of that and gain some of that momentum. So yeah, Viceroy is just not one that I'm wanting to try again.
Yeah, no, it fell flat for me. I don't hate it, but it definitely felt like I have to take these tactical choices and make them strategic. That was what I didn't like. Like, okay, I only have a couple cards this turn, and I have to do the best I can with them. Mm. But I'm trying to build this long-term strategy,
yeah. But
I can't guarantee that that's going to work. And then at the end, you can paint all these circles just to, like, screw whatever you didn't make sense of in the beginning. And it was just so random. Like, oh, so when I was trying to make these little bubbles, it didn't really matter. I could just kind of not worry about that. So.
And some of the cards were just, they felt way overpowered. It's kind of coming back to me in spurts where it's just like, I don't know. I can't see where people are finding enjoyment from this, like based on what we did.
You don't have to defend them. We just move on. I'm going to do a double here and get us close to the finish. So Firefly Shiny Dice, we demoed this at Gen Con, and you can hear about that on our previous podcast after the post Gen Con one. The demo was so bad. I hate the game.
Because of the demo.
The demo. I don't even understand. Like, what a cool theme. Firefly, rolling dice, you know, Yahtzee mechanic. But it was just so convoluted. And why? And then one set of dice and two mats. And we asked the guy, we're like, well, why are there two mats but one set of dice? Oh, so that you don't have to pass the mats. What? Why not just put... Oh, I'm not even going to go there. Flip City. There's another one we played at Gen Con. And you got it. Yeah. And you guys liked it, and I hated this game.
That's a fun game.
This game is terrible.
It's a little fiddly.
You have to fiddle with these cards, and then you're like, oh, guys, was this card? I don't know. It was either upside. But it makes all the difference in the world. Your entire mechanic is based on which way your card is faced.
Did that ever come up in the game?
Yeah, all the time. Or we had a little table.
Now you screwed it up, then. I mean, I like this game. This was fun. We played this one while we were waiting for one of the people to come for, like, a... In demonstration or whatever. But.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought it was interesting, but boy, it just fell flat for you. It was just like, what am I doing? I'm just fiddling with these cards, and who knows? And eventually somebody wins, and you're like, okay, let's pick it up and move on.
Yeah. So, should I do a double then?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, I guess that's the last two. So, Mafia de Cuba, again, that's like one of those kind of like, you know, hidden role sort of games, and you're going around and passing a box with all these different tokens that you're trying to, you know, take some out, and you're basically determining what your role is as the game goes on. I think this is more along the lines of like, this is not my style of game, and that's why I never want to see this one. I'm never going to play this one again. And I'm saying that now, like, if it comes out and people are, do you want to play this? No.
You'll go play a Yahtzee in a corner by yourself.
You know, I guess there could be some scenario where my son is like, this is his favorite game in like 20 years. Maybe I would play it as like a one-time sort of thing, but I just I hope I never forget that I'm not playing this game again.
This isn't fair that you picked on this game, though. Because you don't like any hidden role games. And so you picked out Mafia de Cuba. Why don't you pick on something that's not so good? Like One Night Ultimate Werewolf or something
that lasts like 5 minutes.
Gotcha.
Or not even. Like
How long is Mafia de Cuba? 15 minutes?
And that's a brutal 15 minutes. Like, yeah,
I really like that game. That's fun. But I mean, I'm a talker. I want to talk right through everything. And that's not.
Nice. So.
It comes in a cigar box.
It's cool. The presentation is nice.
Yeah, there you go.
But then it's just like, what? So tell me what you're doing. Like, it just is like a very like, I don't know. I just don't like the ones where you have to talk it through and like, it's basically everyone's lying to everyone. So I don't. What's the point?
Well, it's mafia. Of course, everyone's lying to everyone.
Yeah, but there could be a fun game in that.
Yeah. Nice, go do your
diplomacy. I can see that being semi-enjoyable, but I don't want to do something where it's just like in this sort of, you know, I don't know. I don't want to deceive by like trying to like say exactly what it is. Like maybe there's some depth to it, but I don't know. I'm gonna
you can hate it. It's
yeah. the last one that we want that I want to touch base on is Uchronia, which is by the same guy who did Glory to Rome, and it was kind of that like. It felt like, oh, hey, Glory to Rome isn't available. Let's try this new one with dinosaurs. And we played it, and this was another one where it was like, all right, this first play was not that fun. Maybe there was something that we did wrong, or maybe we just didn't have a good, you know, a good array of cards that came out. So we played it again, and it lasted, like, way too long, and it just didn't have that same feel of, like, you know, it just didn't have a good feel to it. It kind of simplified Glory to Rome. Like, it felt like, oh, they fixed it. They took out the broken stuff. But
right.
There wasn't a game
left.
It's not
fun.
Right.
Right.
So.
Yeah, this was like playing Glory to Rome with turtles.
Huh.
At, like, super slow speed. It was just like, and yeah, there was nothing to be like, oh, now I'm powerful. There was like,
right.
Oh, now I have this slight better ability. So where I told people, try Matainai.
Right.
Don't try Uchronia.
Well, I'll try it again.
No!
I
you
don't
can't hate it if you say you'll try it again.
No, yeah, but I think this is the one on here that I'm still holding out hope for. Like, I still want this one to be a re-implementation of Glory to Rome. I'm probably not going to play it again, but I would. If someone brought it out and they're like, hey, let's try this game, I'd play it.
I'm going to play Mafia de Cuba.
I'm not.
I think the one on my list would probably be Acquire as well, where I may try to go back, but
not
I refuse. No, I will
Triple
not play
Yahtzee. Triple Yahtzee's fun.
Triple Yahtzee.
Flip City?
No, I'm not playing Flip City.
Well, I'm playing Flip City.
All right, those are the games that we don't like. I think what we wanted to kind of talk about is, hey, there's games we don't like. There's games we don't even play.
Right.
But, you know, the podcast and the store is not about like, hey, the store is all about what Brant and Brian like.
Right.
And so, you know, there's tons of stuff. We don't play Warhammer. We don't really play Magic. We have. Right. We
but those
tried
didn't
to
go on this list because
right,
they're
right.
still, yeah.
We tried to play Dungeons & Dragons role-playing with our wives, and they're just things that didn't work for us.
Right.
I think those three specifically are kind of like lifestyle type games where you
yeah.
really need to invest a whole bunch. And we're really board gamers through and through. Even the
yeah.
LCGs that I play.
Right.
I'm just not invested like I was when they kind of first came out and I did some tournaments.
Right.
It's
just really
very casual
for me. Yeah.
And so, but all this stuff, we want people to realize this is all prevalent at the store. And there's people that play all these games.
Right.
There are people that come in and play Warhammer and Magic and role-playing and...
Yahtzee. Yeah.
Yes. And family days of these games. And so definitely come and check it out and love those games. I mean, I even think of a game where I would not put it on the hate list, but a lot of people do, Munchkin. I played a ton of Munchkin. Or Settlers of Catan. And I played a ton of Settlers of Catan.
I should have put that on my list. I forgot about that one.
I don't really want to go back and play Munchkin and Settlers of Catan. But anytime somebody who's not a gamer wants to jump into those and that's going to get them into them, I love those games for that. They're so good at bringing people into the hobby. I mean, so many people play Settlers and just love the hobby. And that's so key to me.
Yeah.
I actually just played Ticket to Ride today with my mother-in-law and my daughter. And it was so fun, although I really like Ticket to Ride,
right.
even outside of it. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's not a way up there, like, oh, I'm going to sit down with you guys on a night, like on one of our 12-hour nights and play Ticket to Ride. But You know, these games are just so key to bringing people into the hobby and the store to have fun. And so, you know, we joke around about games we hate and people might like them, and that's totally fine. There's going to be games we play that people would just hate, slogging through 3 hours of Zulkin the Mayan calendar would just be awful for some people. They'd rather sit there and roll dice and Zombicide or Warhammer or whatever, where it's just, hey, let's see what happens based on this. I love bucket of dice.
Well, I mean, even something like Lewis and Clark, which we played, it was like, I really enjoyed that, like, you know, the more I got to try that out. But, you know, we played with a few people where it's just like, I, you know, I'm not going to be doing this. Like, I see, I recognize it's a good game, but I don't want to be playing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of similar. Like, I mean, these are games that we've disliked. So you're kind of getting a vibe of, like, where we're coming from, our perspective on the hobby. You know, we might be totally wrong, and we want you to tell us, you know, explain why we're wrong on these games, because we want to get everything we can out of the hobby itself.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I've played a lot more games in the past year or so, and it's amazing to see that spectrum, and it's great that we have a chance to say, hey, these are ones that fell flat for us, because that means so many of these other ones are hitting this right vibe, and it's like, oh my goodness, like, just comparing this list, like, you know, if I hadn't played any games, like, you know, I'd try these out and I'd probably have a decent time, but, like, there's much more to it. So wherever you're hopping into this hobby, just know, like, you know, there's so much more than just what you're playing. You might find stuff, like, you might be hopping in and, like, playing something that just doesn't really click for you, but, you know, if you stick with it, like, you're going to get the full spectrum.
Yeah, and discover all these things. And, you know, even just think about going to the store. Like, you know, I'm pretty much done with Magic. I may play an intro deck against an intro deck or something, but, you know, just the whole collecting. But to go to the store and talk to a young kid or young teenager, and they're so excited and see their eyes light up that they just got, like, these three rares that they get to put in their deck, and to talk about that, like, just that joy and that passion they have is so exciting to me. Right. And then to talk to an 18-year-old who's finally constructed this deck that, you know, they've got all this strategy and, you know, and they're really seeing that next step and that evolution in the game is cool. You know, and to talk to somebody about how they painted their models and they constructed this army with this theme. Like, I love that passion that people have. And so that's always fun. So, you know, that's what we want. We want people to come to the store and be passionate about what they're passionate about and find other people, or even just talk to other people and share each other's passions. Like, oh, that's awesome that you like that. So,
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what we're trying to, you know, turn this around to highlight, really, and just have some fun with it. So,
yeah, I mean, as we were talking, like, Settlers of, or I guess Catan now, is one that I would not want to play again. But even saying that, if I'm coming at it from a different perspective, if it's like, if there's a group of people that has never played, like, they've never played a board game, I would totally, like, I would have fun hopping in and playing Catan, with this group. You know, I think with something like that, for me, I was hopping into it with people that were playing a lot of games, and it was just like, you know, there's more than just that. Again, like, that one was not fun for the group I was with, and I just would like that next step for, like, a gamer's game, rather than, like, something that's just kind of, like, I feel like that's closer to, like, you know, like a Yahtzee sort of thing for me, and maybe it's the, like, attempted barter. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I'm kind of rambling here. But, I mean, the bottom line is I'd play Catan or anything but Mafia de Cuba with someone that's really new to the hobby.
Nice. So, those are the games that we don't like, or better yet, hate. Let us know the games that you don't like, or let us know the games that you're super passionate about. How we can help you. You want to start a night or a league or something down at the store, that'd be super fun. So you can email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. All right, last segment here. Kind of been a long episode, so we'll cruise through some of these. These are some of the games that are on the horizon. I believe you said these are the month of February.
Hopefully. Some of them are kind of projected for it. You know, and there could always be
games shipping things. They don't come out on the day, they always say. But first one I'm super excited about, and you told me tomorrow, Stronghold 2nd Edition from Stronghold Games.
Makes sense, finally.
And so I actually have played through this by myself, the first edition, and streamline this game would be beautiful. I mean, I heard this gets down to like an hour plus instead of 2+ hours. So it's a two-player kind of Euro-style war game. So I kind of think Warband, which I know you really like. So that's coming out. Munchkin, the Guest Artist Deluxe Edition. That's Steve Jackson game. So Munchkin we mentioned before. The Verse System, this is the first expansion, I believe, for that. The Defenders.
Yeah.
And so that's the superheroes
yeah.
card game from Upper Deck.
Well, at the moment, it's just superheroes, but
I think they're going to be expanding to others.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Descent Second Edition, Mists of Biohol. So this expansion for Descent.
And if that name doesn't sell you on it.
I know, Mists of Biohol. Who doesn't want to be in those mists? FFG. Lord of the Rings LCG, woo woo. Grey Havens Deluxe Expansion. Yeah. Oh man, this and the cycle look so good. Brian and I could do a whole podcast just about the Lord of the Rings card game because it's so much fun. But this is going to have boats and moving, and then there's an island with a treasure map, and I'm going to stop there because not everybody's interested in Lord of the Rings card game. But I highly suggest trying it. It's really fun. It takes a couple plays to get under your belt, which I think is what it's a step back factor. But anyway, Mega Man the board game, throwback for me. Mega Man was all the rave when I was growing up. So this is out. Takedo Mets.
It should be out.
What?
Did you say it's out? No, it should be out.
Should be this out. These are all should be out on the horizon. Takedo Matsuri expansion. And then we held hands. No, that's the name of a game. I was trying to grab Brian's hand, but he thought there was that. Brian, I'll let you say the next one.
Food Chain Magnet. It's another one. So these three that we just mentioned, Takedo, and then we held hands, and Food Chain Magnet, those are all Passport Game Studios. And I'm really looking forward to this one. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you just told me I could unbox it when you get it. So.
Darn it.
Go ahead, keep going.
Zombicide, Black Plague, you know, some people got the Kickstarter already. The retail should be coming out. Odin's Ravens, A Mythical Race, is going to be coming out from Osprey Games. So, there's been a lot of debate on this one. Hopefully this one will be coming out finally. City of Iron, Second Edition, Red Raven Games. I haven't played the first edition, but I'd be interested in trying that one out.
Oh, it's great. I've played it twice.
Eminent Domain, there are a couple things for that. There's Battle Cruisers and there's Exotica. I'm not sure which one. I think one of them's like a standalone and one's an expansion. I'm talking from who knows where. I don't know. I'd have to take a look on
those. You're right. I don't know which is which.
Yeah, I want to say Battle Cruisers is... I don't know. Tasty Missile Games. Eminent Domain is a great game, so anything in that environment is really fun. And then the last one on the list, we've got Time Stories, A Prophecy of Dragons. Hopefully that one just hits it out of the park too, but that one should be coming out this month. You know, I don't know exactly when. Again, with all these, it's kind of up in the air, but these are all kind of projected for February.
Nice. So that's what's on the horizon. All right, there we go. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 13. I hate you! It's in the books. Good episode. That was fun, Brian. Good discussion topic.
Yeah.
I like talking about things I don't like.
Hopefully you guys did, too.
Yeah, I hope you like listening to us. So thanks so much for listening. Hopefully we'll see you at one of the upcoming events, Silk City Board Game Group, PortalCon, TotalCon. If not, you know, like us on Facebook, check out our website, www.timemachineportal.com, or email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. So, until next time, I am your host, The Brant.
And I'm your co-host, Brian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on February 3rd, 2016. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks!